Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, now you're probably wondering my strategy, Sarah, as to why I'm going to have Steve Gross on from the Allentown Morning Call to talk about the Phillies today. And there's a reason behind it. Because Kevin has a tendency to go to the nearest bridge and consider jumping every time we discuss the Phillies. So I figure if I do this while he's out playing golf with the little windmill, that if I did it today, it would keep him from wanting to jump.
That's considerate of you.
I think that's exactly what a good friend does. That's having his back because, I mean, any time we bring up the subject of the Phillies, he goes, and really also the Steelers, too, he seems to go into depression. The only time he's not in depression is when we put down the Cleveland Browns and Johnny Manziel. He seems to relish and love that. Now, before we get to Steve, today's show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's not called the beverage supermarket for nothing, kids. All right, let's get to it. The best in microbrews, domestics, imports. All right, you need to stock up. And if I were you, I'd be stocking up now for not only this weekend, but for the 4th of July. On top of that, all right, you have to remember it's also a great place to get your snacks, your soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts. The pickle bar is incredible. This guy here loves the barrel pickles. I can't get enough of the barrel pickles. Love them. So it's all at our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Without a doubt, it is the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KO Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, for bringing Steve Gross, who is the Phillies beat writer for the Allentown Morning Call. Steve, welcome. What kind of ride is it covering this team?
It's been interesting, that's for sure. I mean, you never know what you're going to get. Some days you show up at the ballpark and you see a team that you think can compete for the division and maybe put a run here at the end of the year. And then the next day you show up and all the momentum they've built is completely gone. And they look like a team that should be well into last place.
There are certain fundamental elements in baseball. We talk about defense up the middle, catcher, second, short, center field. But there's another component, too, that you really feel like you need to have power at first, third, left, and right. Let's talk about the latter of those two, power at first, third, left, and right. How much does that hurt the Phillies that they don't have those components?
I think it hurts them a lot. I mean, they do, signing Marlon Byrd and having him in right field, that's been a big upgrade over last season because they did struggle last year in right. I think over the first half of the season, the first 76 games actually last year, their right fielders combined for hitting .219. Their slugging percentage was only .374. And Marlon Byrd, he's come in, he's been a defensive upgrade there, and he's hitting .266 over his first 76 games there. He's slugging .476. He does strike out a lot, but if he's, I don't think his average is that bad. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. I'll take the strikeouts if he's producing as many runs and RBIs as he is. So I think that's a big upgrade for the Phillies, and they're getting what they wanted, or maybe even more than they planned on from that position. Howard's starting to heat up. It seems like as Howard goes, so does the Phillies, because he went on that five-game tear there. The Phillies won five games in a row. When they're getting production from Howard, they're winning. So that does hurt them a lot. And then when you look at left field with Don Brown there, he's hurting them all around. He's hurting them at the plate, and as we saw last night and actually earlier this week, in the field as well.
The Phillies, I mean, you can look at the batting average and you see they're 25th. in all of Major League Baseball, but they're also 25th in on-base percentage, which I consider an even bigger number than batting average. I mean, their on-base percentage is .306. Is that an indication of a lack of patience at the plate by this team?
I think so. I've seen it a lot this year. I think a lot of that was from Ben Revere, who played most of the beginning of the year in the leadoff spot or near the top of the lineup, and he's not somebody that walks a lot. He is less than 10 walks, I believe, in this season, and the half of the walks he does have are intentional, because now hitting eight, you know, they walked him. They did that the other night in this series. They intentionally walked him to get to the pitcher. So he doesn't walk a lot, and when he was at the top of the lineup, he's swinging, he's not taking pitches, and that's really what you look for a leadoff guy to do. Now that Rollins is there, he's walking just as much as he ever has in his career. I think that number may start to creep up a little bit, but throughout the lineup, they need to work the, you know, from Rollins all the way down to, you know, guys like Howard and Bird and things like that. I would like to see them work the count a little bit better, take some pitches, get deeper into the counts, make the other pitchers work. When they did, face guys like Josh Beckett earlier this year and they got no hit, they were going up there swinging at first pitches, swinging at balls out of the zone. If they have a better approach at the plate, I think that'll help them a lot.
Ben Revere, they get him in there. I hate to label a guy a disappointment, but is he?
I think so. He, especially at the beginning of the year, he had trouble with fly balls. He was diving when he shouldn't have been. He was holding back when he should have charged a ball. So he had a lot of miscues in center field there. And really at the plate, he hasn't been nearly what they expected of him. He's put together, an average season, but they were looking for much more from him. He did have little flashes here and there. He was hitting around .300 for a little while. But he really hasn't. Every time you thought this year maybe he's going to start get things going, he hasn't, and that's really hurt them. And I think that's a big hole in their lineup right now.
It's my perception. It seems like the pitching, especially in the bullpen, is better this year than last year. Yes or no?
Currently, yes. The bullpen started off the year terrible. It was probably, they cost him a few games, and it was probably the worst part of this team. But lately, they've been the best. Since June 3rd, they have the best ERA in baseball, the bullpen. It's under 1.5. And they have a number of young guys to thank for that. So there's no reason why this couldn't go on further. Justin DeFreitas, who got sent down at the beginning of the year to AAA, now he's recently come back up, and he's looked great. Jake Diekman, Mario Hollins, Ken Giles is another guy that just came up. Those four guys have combined to throw 27 innings and only allowed 2 earned runs over those innings. So that's been a big part of it. And then you have Jonathan Papelbon, which actually a lot of the guys, including Jake Diekman, said this, that he thinks the role that the bullpen's gotten on recently started at the back end there with Jonathan Papelbon. Since April 5th, Papelbon's only given up 2 earned runs. He's at a .62 ERA in his 29 appearances. So really started with him, trickled down. The young guys are stepping up and doing what they need to do. So if the Phillies can take a lead into the 7th, 8th, 9th innings, they do have a really good shot now, unlike the beginning of the year, of winning the game.
Stephen Gross with us, Allentown Morning Call, as we roll on. And, Stephen, it's going to get to a point where a decision has to be made. Are you a buyer or a seller? And with the additional layer of that second wild card, there appear to be over time fewer and fewer sellers. If the Phillies end up being a seller, give me the status of what you think of a Jimmy Rollins and a Chase Utley in a seller's market.
It's going to be really tough to move those guys. They are 10-5 guys. They've been in the league for 10 years and been with the same team for at least 5. So they can waive, they would have to waive no trade clauses to be moved somewhere. So that puts, a crinkle into whatever the Phillies want to do. If they do find trading partners, those two guys will have to approve anywhere they go. So that's going to make it tougher. But just the deals that they've worked out, Chase Utley's contract is very good for the Phillies, but with bonuses and incentives moving around, if they'd move him to another team, that's not as friendly if he goes somewhere else. So I don't know how many other teams want to take on somebody like that, especially at 35 years old. You know, Utley's already had knee problems. He's healthy so far this year, but his production has been dropping off of late. He's hitting under 300 for the first time this season. He had a couple of defensive miscues. I believe that was Tuesday night. So I think, you know, his stock is maybe dropping a little bit. I don't know how many top... You're not going to get a huge return on somebody like Chase Utley. And then, you know, Jimmy Rollins, maybe a little bit more of a return. It seems like Utley wants to stay in Philly. Rollins, after he broke the hit record, the Phillies' all-time hit record, he did open the door of possibly waiving his trade clause if he's approached about it. But he did say that the team would really have to blow things up for him to leave Philly. He'd also like to stay here. So there's a whole bunch of working parts with that. Who you get that's interested, what the Phillies can get back for them, and then once you get through all that, if those two guys do want to move to those teams.
Finally, Steven, I know you mentioned the four pitchers that came in from the minors bumped up into the Phillies bullpen. Overall, what's the sense that you get? Do they have a deep minor league system or not that can help down the road fill some gaps and improve the product?
I don't think so. I think that's going to be really important if they do become sellers as the trade deadline approaches here. They really need to restock their minors because they don't have too much there. A couple of these guys, you know, and guys like Justin DeFreitas and Jake Diekman have been on the edge for a couple of years. But, you know, other than that, there's not too many guys as you go down through here. I know there's big hope their first round pick this year, Aaron Nola. There's high hopes that he'll make it up and be in the rotation starting, you know, sometime middle of next year. He's only had one appearance so far with the Clearwater Threshers, single A, and he got pretty hit hard in that start. So, I mean, it's one start. You'll have to see where he goes from that. But if hopes pinned on him, J.P. Crawford is another guy that it was their first-round pick last year. They're hoping he can move up. He was just promoted to the Clearwater Threshers, and I believe at last I checked he was hitting under 200. So it's not like these guys are they're top prospects. It's not like they're tearing up the minors. It's they're trying to get through. Jesse Biddle's another pitcher that they were hoping. He even had a shot. You know, he was with the major league club to start spring training, just to get him some experience, and he's been hit pretty hard over the last month too, so he's nowhere near joining the big league club. So I think they do need to restock and try and salvage what talent they have left there.
Steven, thanks so much. Appreciate the time and the valuable information.
All right, thanks again for having me on.
That's Steven Gross. He is the beat writer for the Allentown Morning Call for the Philadelphia Phillies. Two quick notes on prospects in the Phillies in Williamsport that I think have impressed me so far this season. Number one is Cord Sandberg, who can play right field, can also play center field, but he's mostly played right field. Third-round pick of the Phillies a year ago. Great stroke, uses the entire field, runs the bases really well, covers ground in the outfield. He looks like he is a guy that can move through the system. He has Redding written all over him down the road. And you know me, my evaluation is when I look at somebody, can they get to double A? Then double A becomes the make or break level. He has all the look to get to double A. The other third round pick last year was Yan Hernandez. He's been good. I'm still waiting a little bit more on him. And then the other guy that's really impressed me is David Whitehead, the pitcher, who sat out all of last year, Tommy John. I've now seen him pitch twice, And I think he has pitched really, really well the two times I've watched him pitch. Same thing. He stays on the path. He has Redding written all over him, too. Those are the guys that I've looked at Williamsport and have felt that they were a cut above what I've been watching. David Whitehead, Cort Sandberg, and to a point, Yan Hernandez. Hernandez plays third base, by the way. Those are the guys, when I look at them, they're the one three I look at right away and say, you know what, they have upward mobility in them. And not just like to high A. I mean, they can get to the double A level. And then after that, we can all make an evaluation. All right. Time to take a break. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. The one thing I try not to do when I look at prospects is I try not to think of them in the realm of, hey, he can make the major leagues. That's a little bit too big of a jump. To me, it's like getting through the first two rounds of the NCAA basketball tournament saying, hey, we can win it all, when you have to win six games to win it. There's an enormity to it. For example, you go here in State College, as an example, you still have to go, this is the third level in the Cardinals organization, you still have to go to High A Palm Beach, then eventually you've got to go to Double A in Springfield, and then finally you go to Memphis, their Triple A team. I mean, before you even think about the Major League, before you even think about it. Now, there's certain guys that I've looked at over time. I mean, did I think Brock Holt, who's now doing remarkable things for the Red Sox, had that upward mobility? Sure, yes, I did. Tony Watson, yes. Gregory Polanco, yes. Alan Craig, yes. Jason Mott, yes. Luke Gregerson, who's had a great career, first with San Diego, now with Oakland, yes. Cody Ashe, no. Dominic Brown, yes. I thought they had this kid named Jeremy Barnes who played shortstop out of Notre Dame, 20th overall pick. I thought he was going to be fantastic in the organization. You know? And who knows? Sebastian Valle, catcher. 18 years old when he played at Williamsport. Loved him. He's moved up, but he hasn't gone as far as I thought he could go. So, I mean, some of it's hit or miss. There's some guys you just look at right away and say, you know what? Player. Polanco, player. Watson, player. Holt, player. Gregerson, Mott, Craig, player. Well, and same thing when I look at Williamsport. Dominic Brown, knew right away. You know, the guy can play. I feel that way about Cort Sandberg right now. Cody Ashe, didn't see it. Darren Ruff, yeah, okay. I saw some of it. Cody Ashe, didn't see it, though. Now, they have this kid in the organization named Roman Quinn. Lightning fast, can play shortstop. I see upward mobility in him. He's the fastest guy I ever saw in this league. So, you know, you see certain things. It's not always perfect when you look at somebody. A couple guys, like, they had a power hitter here. They Mark Hamilton, first year here. I thought for sure Mark Hamilton. Now, Mark Hamilton did make the majors, but I thought he'd have a little more staying power than he did. He had kind of a cup of coffee up in the majors. You know, I thought he had a real look to him, but in the end, no. So it's not perfect, but usually
I'd say 80% of the time. After watching a whole summer, you can get a gauge as to who can get to the AA level and make a move. So, and we've seen some pretty good ones here. Victor Black, who's with the Mets now, no doubt. You saw him pitch here, you're like, he's going to fly through the organization. Right? He did and was in the trade, and he's now with the Mets. He's been really good. All right, we head to the bottom of the hour news. Cody J will have that in just a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Your thoughts on the Phillies and what Stephen Gross talked about. And do you think they should make some trades? Now, you have to have somebody on the other side that would accept them, but I'd like to get your thoughts at 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, listen to that promo, sir. It makes it sound like I took the whole show down.
No, it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're a suck-up.
Hey, no, we have the whole show posted at WKOK.com for anyone that missed it or wants to hear it again. It's posted up there.
Which is now being currently examined by the governor's office. I didn't say anything about the governor, as a matter of fact.
No, you didn't.
I never said a word about him. I don't really see any need to. You know, he has to run on his own merits, and it's up to people as to whether or not they believe that he should get another term or not. And I think it's about as fair as I can be about it. How about that? So, all right. So we're being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Look, I think you not only need to stock up for this weekend, you have to start thinking about the 4th of July weekend. And stocking up. In fact, the Lewisburg fireworks are tonight, correct?
That is correct. The Lewisburg fireworks kind of start off our whole valley with the 4th of July celebrations. Their parade is tomorrow. We have things all next week. And, of course, Friday is the 4th. So,
yes,
it's busy.
Well, okay. Now, let me tell you a quick story. Yes, it's going to be story time with Steve.
Yes.
And before we get to that, by the way, we are brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, microbrews, imports, domestics, snacks, soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar. I love the barrel pickles. That is number one on my list. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we are, as always, in the Chateau, the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, quick, before we get to the call, quick story time with Steve. It was 2006, so it's the first season I'm doing State College Spikes baseball in addition to my Penn State football and basketball work. And I remember it was June the 30th. And it was the final game of the series. Now, the goal is, when you get to the final game of the series on the road, is that your hope internally is that the game goes rather quickly so you can get on the road and go. First two nights, it doesn't matter. It could go 15, 20 innings. Who cares? You're going to be there anyway. Well, this game does exactly what I hope it will do. It goes by quickly. We're done in 2 hours and 6 minutes. I'm thinking, this is great. So, I quickly do the post-game show, I get in the car, and I drive away. And I have to drive down a road going toward Geneseo State before I eventually pick up the highway to take me down to 15 and eventually down. So I'm going along, and Sarah, there literally is not another car in the road behind me or coming at me. I have the entire road to myself. This is great. And I'm just going along. And in the distance, I see fireworks in the sky. Now, it's June the 30th, and so I'm thinking, this is great. All road to myself. I'm just cruising along, right? Fireworks display, a little ambiance. 15 minutes later, I get to the town that is shooting off the fireworks. And they're done. I sat there for 45 minutes. So much for getting home early. I got on the cell phone. I called home, said, Kath, guess what? It's going to be a while. Okay.
That was good.
We have a phone call. Who do we have?
It's Dave. It's Dave from Sunbury.
Dave. Hello, Dave. Hola and buenos dias to you, my man.
Really finish off the whole thing, do you, that you do for Kevin. That he's... Okay.
Deep down, you miss him, right? I mean, you miss him, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, because,
Dave, we'll get back to you, Dave. Sir and I are still deciding.
The way he takes everything, like you said about the Steelers and the Phillies. I got a brother like that, too, to be honest. You know,
he get rather passionate about it, doesn't he, sir?
Yeah, so does my brother.
He does. He has a passion for his teams. Wow. It could border on a childish tantrum, though.
Well, Sarah has said what I
you have your own.
She's on it.
Hey, I don't ever have tantrums, you know.
I wanted to say something to you because of your one draft pick.
The Orioles and the Ravens?
The Ravens.
Our first draft pick.
One of your draft picks, yeah.
Okay.
An outstanding individual. Now Steve knows where I'm going with that one.
Oh, boy.
No.
Well, you're talking about John Urschel.
I'm being legit.
You're talking about John Urschel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Sarah was very happy about that pick. My understanding is between he and A.Q. Shipley, the two of them can both play center guard. So you got a real Penn State influence on the offensive line now.
Just that, because all we say is about Kevin, with the Steelers. And, because my team's Buffalo, we get to the Super Bowl, we just can't win it.
Well, yes, I know. There's a little, you and the Vikings, a little 0-4 there.
Yeah. That'll go to that first one. If that field goal's right, we're okay. That changes some of the things, but that doesn't change that last game, the way Dallas just manhandled them, mauled them. But
the next to last one, they got manhandled and mauled. The one they played in Atlanta, actually, that game was tied at halftime, if I recall.
I thought it was the other way around.
The one in the Rose Bowl where when Don Beebe stripped the ball away from Leon Lett.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the year before. The next year they played in Atlanta, and it was 10-10 at halftime. That's the one where,
I stand corrected.
No, it's okay. No, that's a minor thing in life. Don't worry about it.
The only one other thing was real quickly was the Lakers did a pretty good pick, but I knew they traded that other one away from previous deals.
Right, but the Lakers picked a guy, and this the Lakers picked a guy that is going to be in the league for 8 to 12 years, Dave, who's going to average probably about 15 to 18 points a game, who's going to average about 9 to 12 rebounds a game. They picked a guy that I think is about as close to a sure thing in this draft as you're going to find.
Yeah, as opposed to some of those picks, people that go way out.
Yeah, I don't get it, Dave. I flat out don't get some of the picks. We're making a foreign pick. We're going to stash him away for 2 years. Look, the idea is to get better. The Lakers, with their pick of Randall, got better.
Yeah.
The Bulls got McDermott. They got better. Wiggins, better. Parker, better. I think the Sixers helped themselves with Embiid. I think KJ McDaniel, they helped themselves. And I think Russ Smith will make the team be better than people realize. I think they helped themselves. But all the foreign players, I mean, I think Atlanta picked Adrian Payne. They got better, all right?
I'm trying to think who picked Noah. I think Charlotte picked Noah Vonleh, which I knew Jordan would do. They did not get better.
As I said, you know.
So.
Well, I'll hang up and listen to the rest of the show. And
Dave, just, thanks so much. Appreciate that.
Keep doing your,
Dave brings
your good stuff.
Oh, I appreciate it, my man. That's very nice of you to say, Dave. Have a great weekend. That's what gets me about the NBA draft, to be frank with you. And I listened to most of the first round driving back from Williamsport last night, and then I watched the rest of it once I got here. The number of foreign players picked, and I have no problem with it. I mean, if a foreign player can play, fine. Because, for example, Dirk Nowitzki of the Dallas Mavericks, Penn State had him. Chuck Swinson recruited his brains out when it came to getting Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, he recruited his brains out, and he got him. Okay? Dirk Nowitzki was going to come to Penn State to play basketball. But in Germany, you have to have one more year of, once you get to be 18, of military service. Well, he had to go into the year of military service. And while in there, he was convinced that the Dallas Mavericks, in particular, really wanted him and would draft him. And, of course, they didn't. He went pro, so he didn't come here. So a guy like that, you know, Tony Parker, obviously, you know, Tiago Splitter happens to be a role player, but still a good role player. Manu Ginobili's had a great 12-year career in the NBA. But I'm really big, to me, and my philosophy, on guys that are older. I think Adrian Payne is going to be a really good pro. I think that Noah Vonleh is going to be an okay pro. I think Gary Harris is going to be an okay pro. I think Payne's going to be outstanding. I think Marcus Smart will be a good pro. I think the Celtics and the Lakers both drafted really well. I mean, I know that Randall's a one and out. Randall's going to be a really good pro. Really good. And I, you know, I look at that and I just think that I just think they're going to be outstanding. I really do. So, you know, I you take a long look at these things and you wonder about what certain teams are going to do. And when I see all the foreign players and that, you know, he might not be ready and so forth, I'm thinking, isn't the idea of the draft to get better? I mean, I watched a little bit of Dante Exum, who was picked by Utah fifth overall. And, okay, he's big and he's a good passer and has some good basketball sense, but he's not a good shooter. I mean, you heard Doug Gottlieb and myself going back and forth on the draft yesterday, and I brought up Noah Vonleh versus Payne. He and I were on the exact same page. I want the experienced guy that's grown into being a good basketball player. I mean, I don't understand how, oh, we'll develop him. You're going to develop him into what? I want to win now. Pat Riley's philosophy is brilliant. I like it. He likes older players who've been through it. He drafted Mario Chalmers. Now, Chalmers probably is not as good as he personally thinks he is. You know, being with LeBron, Bosch, and Wade helps anybody's game. But he still was a perfect fit for what they needed. Then he goes out last night, makes the deal with the Hornets, and gets Shabazz Napier. Napier's a guy that can play. He can play. Now, Gary Harris at least put in 2 years at Michigan State. I think, for example, Mitch McGarry goes to Oklahoma City. I thought that was a really good pick for Oklahoma City. They have two established stars in Kevin Durant and obviously Westbrook. McGarry's going to run the floor. He's going to do the dirty work. He's going to get your rebounds and the whole thing. And he has already played in a system that included Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Glenn Robinson III. So he knows how to fit in and be a role player. He already knows how to do that. So, I don't know. Some days you wonder.
Some days you wonder. And in the NBA, there are parts I sit back and say, what were they thinking on that? Exum, I could see why he went there. I thought picking Aaron Gordon fourth. I go through the first seven, eight picks of the draft. I think everybody did pretty well. I think Dave's a big Laker fan. Hey, Randall, perfect pick. Celtics picked Marcus Smart. Good pick. He can play a little bit, you know, a little veteran around him. He's been a leader. It's good. So, all right. And we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, we close out the week. I want to thank Sarah, who was here Monday and Friday, Kyle, who was here Tuesday through Thursday. Kevin's back on Monday. Tonight, I hope everyone has a chance to go to Lewisburg and enjoy a great fireworks display. It should be a lot of fun as we make the countdown to the 4th of July, which is one of the truly fun, relaxing weekends of the year for many, many people. And I hope you get a chance to enjoy it as well, starting tonight with the fireworks in Lewisburg. We've talked about a lot of things, obviously, on the show today, from the NBA draft and so forth. And our thanks to Stephen Gross, who is the Phillies beat writer for the Allentown Morning Call. We had the previous half hour, full half hour of Phillies talk on here. Then we also had Josh Yowie from the Tribune Review on, who spent a half hour talking about the NHL draft and about the Penguins' new coach, Mike Johnston. That was from 3:30 to 4. And also our thanks yesterday to Doug Gottlieb from CBS Sports, who came on and we discussed the NBA draft yesterday as well. So we've had full shows all week long. And, of course, one point that we keep coming back to, that today was the final day of the O'Bannon trial. And no matter what happens, there's going to be an appeal of this. All right, so this is just another step forward. The entire sports model of intercollegiate athletics is not going to disintegrate based on this ruling because there's going to be an appeal. But there are, when you sit in a studio and do a show, you can sit there and look at 107,000 in a stadium, 15,000 in an arena, see an NCAA basketball tournament where the rights fee is high and it's loaded with commercials where even the 30-second timeouts are sponsored as well, and say to yourself, they're making all this money off the sweat of football and men's basketball players. You have to be out there and involved to understand there's more to it than that. And even though I've had someone in the media tell me, he says, look, people don't really care about that topic, and you keep talking about that topic. Well, you darn well had better. I'm going to keep talking about it for this reason, because I know I'm right to talk about it, to at least discuss it, whether you agree with my viewpoint or not. Now, that's your business, and that's fine. We can debate it back and forth. That's what these shows are for. But I think it's also important for me in the host role to be prepared and to give you as much information as possible, so I'm not just shooting from the hip because it's great to speak to the mob and get everybody riled up one way or the other because that's how we get ratings on talk. No, that's not my responsibility here. My responsibility is to come to the table with a knowledge set that allows you to then make better choices on your opinion based on a series of facts or stories I can tell, so that you understand where I'm coming from and what the future might be for intercollegiate athletics. If you pay football and men's basketball players and you make it an open market, okay, you are flushing a lot of different sports and student athletes down the drain. And if somebody wants to sit there and argue about let the free market take place, Kelly Mazzanti's name just came up yesterday, who was just as marvelous a basketball player as you'll ever want to see on a court, and a tremendous ambassador for Penn State. But if you wanted to say, let the free market dictate what we should and shouldn't have, Kelly Mazzanti's sport, which is a great one to watch and enjoy, and how much we enjoyed watching her play it, The free market would dictate that that sport would never exist. The reason being that sport, if you're doing it in dollars and cents, loses anywhere from $2.5 to $4 million a year. Well, I'm sorry. I want to keep that sport. And I want to see the next Kelly Mazzani at Penn State. How does that happen? It happens under the current model you have that absolutely needs modification, but not as drastic as those who think it's professional. They need to change how many hours they're involved. That's one of them.
Business and CBS.